ようこそどうぞはじめまして、
Hello everyone, welcome to the Glorio Chat, the most improved anime podcast on the internet.
I mean, we're doing another episode a mere week after the previous one, so...
I know, I mean, we survived our return episode last week and we are back for another one, so I think that's a positive sign of improvement. Yeah, so we're happy to be back. We have another topic for everybody this week. We wanted to talk about something that has been a big deal in the anime world for a long time and has recently seen a bit of a growth in popularity with a certain mobile game that came out recently. And we're talking about the Fate franchise. Is franchise a good term to use for it?
Yeah, or at this point, I'd say franchise. If you'd asked me like a decade ago, I wouldn't have said franchise, but
because it's
the
more,
biggest thing.
Yeah, it's more than just an anime series or one particular media or even one particular series at this point. I guess that's maybe the best way to put it. But, you know, we're talking the Fate franchise. So starting with the original Fate Stay Night, and like we mentioned, the recent explosion in popularity with the Fate Grand Order game. We had the recent Fate Apocrypha series and with a couple other spinoffs airing this season. So there's just a lot to talk about there that we wanted to kind of discuss. I think it's fair to say we have a bit of a love-hate relationship with Fate.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah, yeah, it does a lot of cool things. It has a ton of potential, as always. But it, you know, doesn't always hit the mark. Maybe the most positive way I can put it. But regardless, it's something that's an interesting topic, we think, and we're going to get into all that. So before we do that, let's do some introductions. I was made aware that I never introduced myself, so I'm going to throw that in there. So I'm Jell. I'm the Supreme Emperor of theglorioblog.com. You may all kneel now.
Can you flex?
Yes. And with me, returning from last week, I have probably the most qualified person for this discussion that I know. We have Iroh.
Hi.
And Iroh is basically a tight mood encyclopedia, and he's someone he's someone I actually enjoy talking to, which is a very rare combination.
And, oh man, that Venn diagram is basically
it's
two circles standing right next to each other.
It's basically Iroh, yes, and so he knows all this stuff. I mean, he is the secret creator of Tight Moon eBooks, which I probably shouldn't have said that.
I haven't tweeted
let's redact that statement.
That's fine.
Strike that from the record. So
edit it out.
Yeah,
it'll be fine.
Yeah, one more editing thing for me is no problem. But yes, also returning as an additional voice of reason on this topic, we have the one and only G-Man.
Yo, I do not know as much about Fate as I do robots, but my understanding is that they are both fueled by similar levels of bullshit. So that should be fine then.
Yeah, it's
should be familiar enough to me. So
that is anime for you. So quick aside, G, is and I'm sure our listeners will be okay with this. How's Monster Hunter going?
Good, which is not good because I'm spending way too much time on that thing. I broke into high rank recently, so you know I'm now in the cycle, the Monster Hunter cycle of, oh, I beat all these monsters before, now I get to fight them again, but they're harder, they attack harder, they have more HP, and they drop cooler stuff. Rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. But still enjoying the hell out of it, even if it's eating up a little bit too much of my time. Or more than I would like, but
yeah,
that's Monster Hunter for you.
It's a huge time sink. I know I have not had a whole lot of time to play. I'm still trying to get through the main quest lines and unlock all the areas and everything. Because I have people I want to play with the multiplayer, and I know we were talking about getting together too. And multiplayer is kind of a joke until you have everything unlocked. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna get.
It's not intuitive, but the recommendation I would make, even if I didn't follow it myself, is to kind of just beeline through the quote unquote story, just because, for better or worse, grinding doesn't actually matter that much in low rank.
You almost,
like, whatever gear you have now is probably going to be fine.
You almost can't do. Well, you really can't do most of the single player content multiplayer. Like, you have to just grind through. Yeah, there's not a lot of like co-op for the story missions. It's just a mess. So, word of advice to anyone out there looking to play, or maybe a word of warning, looking to play Monster Hunter, the multiplayer, you're probably not going to really be able to get into it until, many hours into it. So I still think it's a great game, though. Yeah. Worth checking out.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Totally.
All right. Let's put that aside.
Speaking of video games.
Speaking of video games. Oh, well, we could have the whole our visual novels video game debate, but I think we'll just... let's just leave that...
Oh,
another time.
Let's leave that...
I mean, even ignoring the VN, like, Fate has expanded so much at this point that there are technically plenty of video games.
True enough.
That is true.
Games in its storied franchise.
That is true.
So
speaking of video games, novels, light novels, visual novels, mobile games, anime, there's probably a pachinko thing
drama
in there somewhere. Drama CDs.
2D fighters.
Yeah. So we have the Fate franchise, and as we mentioned, it is always been a big deal, but it is probably the biggest deal it's ever been right now. And we want to make sure that these kids these days picking up Fate Grand Order understand that Fate's been around for a long time. I mean, the original series goes back to 2004.
2004, 2005. Yeah, that's about when the official novel came out.
Yeah, so. It's been well over 10 years, nearly 15 years that the franchise has existed. So we're going to take a little walk down memory lane here, talk about this discussion. We're going to focus primarily on the anime, but, we'll talk a bit about some of the sources, where different sources that the animes are based off on, and just kind of relive some of our thoughts on those. And like I said, we've got Iroh here, our Type Moon encyclopedia, so he'll be able to help us explain things and answer questions and whatnot. So let's start at the beginning then. So the original visual novel that started it all was Fate Stay Night. And maybe Iroh, why don't you tell us what Fate Stay Night is?
All right. Well, Dojin Circle Type Moon, who some of you may know from Tsukihime, which was a visual novel they released in 2000. Around there, anyway. They released Fate Stay Night a few years later, which was a eroge visual novel, which they've definitely tried to distance themselves from the eroge roots, but anyway.
For the kids not to know, that means they're anime titties.
They bang a bunch.
It's anime with...
Back in the day.
Anime with bad sex scenes, yes. Badly written sex.
I mean, it was different time, right? If you wanted to get your stuff sold like a comiquette, and you just want to like tell your cool story about like people fighting, why would anyone buy that? There's no boobs in it. And so original Fate had boobs in it, and as it's gotten more popular, they have gone further and further in trying to make everyone forget that ever happened. Anyway, it's a visual novel, so it's mostly reading with music and still images. You click to progress the story. And the basics of the story, in modern day Japan, there's a magical ritual going on unbeknownst to the regular folk, where people are fighting over the Holy Grail. The Holy Grail that's not actually the Holy Grail, and now we're getting into the lore stuff that is overly complex, But let's just say it's the Holy Grail.
It supposedly grants you your wish or whatever if you win it, right? That's the
the buzzword that pops up everywhere and is an omnipotent wish granting machine.
Is that what they really call it?
So,
I was not aware that was the.
They say it so much in everything.
Yeah, neither Gene nor
it's
I.
It's one of those Japanese phrases.
Neither Gene nor I played.
It's one of those. Yeah, it's one of those Japanese phrases that you just start hearing all the time in Fate.
Huh.
Along with many others that we joke about endlessly. But, and so modern day mages, wizards, sorcerers, what have you, gather in this city where this ritual happens and use magic to summon the spirits of heroes from across time and space to do battle over the Holy Grail, and Last Man Standing claims the Holy Grail and has their wish granted. So naturally, it's about a Japanese high school student who meets a hot girl.
But who is that hot girl?
It's not even a spoiler anymore, I guess. It used to be a spoiler.
We're definitely past the statutes of limitations on that one.
Mm-hmm. So famously, Fate Stay Night features a cute blonde girl as the main heroine, Saber. Saber because she uses a sword, and there are 7 different types of servants available to be summoned. Anyway, she is King Arthur, who in this universe was a lady. And that's kind of like, as of Grand Order, that's kind of the typecast Fate thing is, we took these famous heroes and gender swapped them into be hot ladies.
Yeah, so that's always kind of been my weird thing with Fate is like, you know, like King Arthur, but, you know, little blonde girl has always been kind of, you know, that recurring joke in Fate.
Yes.
But I feel like the original Fate Stay and Night, unless I'm misremembering, Arthur, like Saber is the only gender swapped historical figure, right?
Yes.
And so like, that situation, it kind of makes her stand out, which, you know, like, whether you agree with that creative decision or not, it at least makes her stand out, which, you know, hey, that's important in a character that you want to draw attention to. I think the weird thing now is that because Saber has set that weird precedent, now it's like there's this kind of weird internal pressure at tight move, like, as many gender swapped heroes as possible, which, if you ask me, just kind of dilutes the unique quality that Saber had originally.
I mean, absolutely. In the original,
but then again, I guess it's go ahead.
The original, like, plans for original Fate Stay Night, the main character you played as was a girl, and you summoned dude King Arthur, and at some point they decided to change that because they didn't think. I guess they didn't think people wanted to play as the girl.
I mean, well,
like,
unfortunately,
once the plan became let's put sex in this, they changed some stuff.
I mean, unfortunately, as Fate Stay Night shows, you know, they were completely warranted in that decision because you know, unfortunately, Otaku ate up the modified versions.
Yeah, so. as we said, I mean, this is now going back, you know, 13, 14 years ago. You know, it's only the past really maybe 2 or 3 years that we've seen like the real explosion of, you know, female fans. So that was just what you did at the time, I guess, is you're marketing towards guys. So, you know, guys are primarily going to want to, you know, want their waifu to be this cute little blonde girl.
Bang the hot ladies.
Yes. Right. So
ladies, because there are multiple roots in original Fate Stay Night visual novel. It's like old dating sims. Yeah. It's old dating sims like Tokimeki Memorial and stuff where you play day by day and, you know, there's multiple girls in the game and you basically would pick one to see all their events and hook up with them at the end. And so I guess at some point, at least with Tsukihime, I don't know. There, I'm sure there are other examples at the time, other contemporaries, but at some point it just became, instead of you see their events as everything progresses, it's you get onto their route and the entire story warps to be focused on them, on the girl you are pursuing, let's say. And so while the first route in Fae's Day Night is about Saber, once you complete that, it unlocks the next route, which is about another character, Rin, and then completing that unlocks a third route about Sakura. And so these are all like practically different stories that start from the same base, which was kind of an interesting thing to me at the time.
Yeah, so
has led to a number of different anime adapting different parts of Fate's Day Night.
Right. So that's kind of the reason why you can't just say there's one Fate's Day Night anime, because there's really three different stories, and each anime takes either a different one of those stories, or, well, they're kind of segmented in that general way, where one is about the first route, one's about the second route, one's about the third route. But yeah, that's why it's not as, that's why it's a little more complicated. And I guess the thing that I never quite fully wrap my brain around is like, which one is supposed to be like the canon route.
They're all canon.
And that's the,
I mean,
that's just the thing I can't wrap my brain around.
The other thing, look, like, not to segue into it too much, but as a Gundam fan, like, the thing you realize, I think, about a lot of these very, very big, very long-standing Japanese franchises is that compared to the West, I don't think Japanese fans are actually as concerned about what is canon as much as they are about just, like, the events themselves and, like, how can we alter the story to make it so that these characters get to do something cool or interesting.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of what that does to the lore or the, like, the consistency of the setting elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. And so you do get circumstances in each route where, for example, stuff happens in the second route that maybe doesn't make sense in context, but only makes sense to you because you've gone through the first route and know certain things.
Right, that's kind of an interesting way to tell a story, you know, like, I don't know if it's successful everywhere, but, like, the idea of, like, I mean, it's kind of like, it's almost like a sequel in a ways, right? Like,
yeah.
A sequel, you know, operates, usually sequels operate on the understanding that you, the viewer or the watcher, you know, has some context of earlier events because of your experience with them. Fate's Day Night just kind of does it concurrently, I guess.
Yeah, it's like, hey, what if this happened instead?
Right.
And now carry on knowing the things that you know, but with these different circumstances.
So, taking that context then, with the three different routes, let's talk about how Fate's Day Night has been adapted into anime form. So, we'll start with the first adaptation, which was the original Fate's Day Night in 2006 by our favorite studio, Dean. And Dean, for a long time in the early years of the Glorio chat, that was one of our running gags where Iroh would shake his fists in the air and yell at the sky, Dean, with as many E's as possible. Just because I think there were some... some people had some issues with the quality of that adaptation.
I mean, if for a mid-2000s anime, it's pretty standard, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, as somebody who watched the original anime as well, I would say my memories of the original Fate's Day Night anime are... Well, let's see. CG Sex Dragons.
Kenji Kawai soundtrack.
Yes, the very good soundtrack, and a bridge. That's about...
Oh, that fucking bridge.
That's about the grand sum of my memories from the original Fate's Day Night anime. But despite that, I think I still have broadly positive connotations feelings about it. Like,
sure.
Or in the sense that, like, I would probably give it 3 stars out of 5 instead of 2 stars out of 5 if you put a gun to my head.
Yeah.
But
fans were down on it for a long time because it adapts the first route about Saber, which is...
Well, I think it was given the unenviable task of being the first, like, Fate Stay Night anime.
You have to do the first route first.
Sure. But it also kind of cheats a bit, doesn't it?
It does.
It kind of has some, like, events from other routes just to, like... had it out, or kind of like, you know, as a wink and nod towards fans of the other routes. But
to pad out to full 2 core 24 episodes, they do add some stuff in from other routes, usually where it would make sense. But it is a bit weird that, like, so this stuff shouldn't really be happening or shouldn't be being addressed right now, but it's still happening anyway. But it's
fine. Because despite all that, I think no disrespect towards the people who trudged through the original VN and it's not very good artwork. Like, let's be honest, like, the Dean Fate Stay Night anime is probably what introduced most people to the Fate franchise.
I think it does. Yep.
I watched that.
I think it does a pretty decent job of establishing the universe, telling the story. Like, you get the you know what happens. Yeah. It's pretty good. I think me and Iroh have basically been apologists for it throughout the process, and people aren't as hard on it as they were back then.
It's also not readily available these days. I think Funimation has it now, but
I mean, bringing that thing in front of, you know, a modern audience, you know, that probably has not aged super well.
No.
Look, if nothing else, you know, out of context, as somebody who had no familiarity with the VN, you know, just read up the premise, like, as a history buff, like, wizards summoning historical figures to duke it out in a battle royale for the Holy Grail, I was like, yo, that sounds all right to me, like...
Mm-hmm. How about this cooking and cleaning instead? How about now, let's go to high school?
See, that's the thing. I probably haven't watched... the Dean one in 10 years, so I maybe don't remember the details. I don't really remember a lot of the cooking and the cleaning, at least especially in the second half.
No,
it's not as bad as the later adaptation by UFOtable with but we'll get more into that later. I know for me, one of my stronger memories of the original Fate Stay Night series was I didn't really know that the Eroge existed at that point. And I remember when they got to the episode where they're running from Berserker and they all shack up in that abandoned house. And I'm like, wait, what are they? Right. Are they really going here?
So it is worth saying that they didn't just put sex in. They put in, like, poorly justified sex. So it's like, it's not just that they're banging. It's that we need to transfer more mana into Saber so she can fight. The best way to do that is by injecting her with bodily fluids. And the best way to do that is to bang.
Yeah. So that was how I discovered that Eroge exists, unfortunately. But they don't get super explicit about it in the anime, but it kind of hints in that direction, and I was like, huh, they're really going here out of nowhere. And they were. So just to move along, of course, the Fate Stay Night series, the original, was primarily focused on the Fate route, as we mentioned, and Dean did make an attempt to do the second route, which is the Unlimited Blade Works route is the name. And
you know, we're so used to just saying Unlimited Blade Works
because
we know what it means and, like, have context for the fucking phrase Unlimited Blade Works, which is completely ridiculous. Yeah,
anime. I mean, but, like, that's the thing, right? Like, that's anime in a nutshell, though, is, like, arcane phrases that have no, like, no meaning outside out of their context, but fans just grow to understand
the lingo. The UBW movie that Dean did back in 2010, you know. Oh, what it was, I mean, UBW. Oh, you know, Unlimited Blade Works. What does that mean? Well,
Be honest. Be honest, Iroh.
Yeah.
Do you know the entire like chant or whatever by heart?
Shit. Oh, gosh. I'd have to think about it. But I'd probably end up skipping a bit or two if I tried to do it from memory right now. But I am the bone of
also,
my sword.
Also, like, let's be honest, the English phrasing of that chant is all over the fucking place.
Okay, so to explain what we're talking about with the chant, the verses, etc. Within the Roots Unlimited Blade Works, a certain character has a special ability called Unlimited Blade Works, to which to activate, they say a whole poem of multiple lines. And there's plenty of other lore stuff that goes with that about how magic requires more verses, the more powerful it is. But anyway, it is a famous mimetic.
It starts verse. With I am the bone of my sword. I mean, yeah, that sets the tone. So anyway, Dean takes a stab at the second root here, Unlimited Blade Works, and they try to attempt to do this in a movie form, in one single animated movie, and that...
Boy, howdy. Yeah, which skips all of the plot and just shows every fight in sequence, pretty much.
You mean the good parts of Fate.
Would it be fair to say that this movie was basically a... thrown out there for the fans and not
absolutely something 110%,
but it's not something meant to be watched by people who did not play the visual novel.
I mean, why would you go see it if you didn't know, right? I mean, I say that, but then we have stuff like Apocrypha coming out these days. But yeah, like if you didn't know what was going on, it would be completely incomprehensible.
Right.
It's just too much.
If you watch the original Fate Stay Night, you'll at least understand the concept of the servants fighting and the Holy Grail battle and all that.
Yeah.
But, there's so many other things going on in there that you just need more time. So I know.
I think if you watched it after the Dean TV anime, you'd probably be okay.
I mean, that was probably the intent,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Like, so basically, don't pick that as your first introduction to the Fate series, is what we're saying. And it's probably even further irrelevant because the Unlimited Blade Works got a full size treatment a couple years later.
Oh yes,
which we'll get to, you know, further down the line here. So. Unfortunately, I think the Dean movie is probably going to get lost to history as time goes on.
Yep. I mean, I've got the DVD, the Blu-ray on my shelf.
Proudly.
Just as a curiosity.
I was going to say, and nothing of value was lost. Yeah, you know.
So. Let's move on to, you know, that's the end of the Dean years. From there on. The most of the Fate adaptations, really all of the mainline ones, were taken over by UFOtable. Am I saying that correctly? Because that's how I always thought it was supposed to be said.
I always just say UFOtable.
I think, like, it's supposed to be UFOtable. In my brain, I always say UFOtable.
Okay, I don't know.
We'll use our three separate distinct pronunciations.
Let's say UFOtable for the sake of keeping it consistent. But
sure.
Yeah, so now I actually don't know this. Who are they? Because they basically only do Titan Moon stuff, right?
They did some other stuff before they got involved with Titan Moon. They did the Coyote Ragtime Show, I believe called.
Yeah, that's going back.
Which I know nothing about, really. Anyway, they did a series of films. Familiar. Based on the Garden of Sinners, which is some other Type Moon property. And those were very well regarded among the people who care about that sort of thing. And so in the like early 2010s, they got tapped to do an anime adaptation of Fate Zero, which was a series of prequel light novels written by one Gen Urobuchi, who at the time was not as nearly as big as he is now. He was mostly known for Song of Saya and other eroge from around that era.
He did do, you know? Madoka was 2010, so I think he was...
Yes, but that was after writing the, like, novels
right.
for Fate
I'm just
Zero,
talking of,
I
as
guess.
Far as him being kind of known in the anime world.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say in terms of mainstream, like, recognition, I'd say Madoka probably is what kicks off Urobuchi's career.
Yes.
And
which is
it's
funny.
Probably Fate Zero, which being such a strong follow-up, is probably what, like, helped cement that momentum,
right.
I guess.
It's just funny, because when Madoka was going on, everyone's like, oh man, Gen Urobuchi, the Fate Zero guy. and then when Fate Zero, the anime, was coming out, people were like, oh man, Gen Urobuchi, the Madoka guy. And, now it's what, Gen Urobuchi, the Kamen Rider Gaim guy? I'm kidding. but yes. He was known for
so
all that stuff.
Maybe let's just clarify what exactly what is Fate Zero then, like previously, before we get into the anime.
Right. So the conflict over the Holy Grail in Fate Stay Night is a repeating event. And Fate Stay Night is the fifth Holy Grail War, and they speak about what happened during the fourth Holy Grail War, which happened 10 years previous and involved parents of some main characters, and etc. And so Fate Zero details those events within light novel format. So there's like four volumes that each cover a bit and kind of goes into the motivations of some characters who weren't really fleshed out in Stay Night, and just what happened during that time.
Now, I would, if it were up to me to decide, I would say Fate Zero is the single best Fate story out of all of them.
I would broadly agree with this.
I guess. Yes. If we were talking about, like, as a culminative whole, like, you know, a sum of its parts, like, Fate Zero probably is the most, like, well put together story, at least, you know, at least in the anime anyways, you know, that
you're saying the one not written by Kinoko Nasu is the best put together one.
I mean, in many ways it makes a little sense, in the same way that, like, you know, in superhero comics, some of the best superhero comics are like,
yes,
All-Star Superman, or, you know, The Dark Knight Returns, you know, these one-off, like, stories written by, like,
people
a single person who
doing.
Is still who is still beholden to, like, the canon and the lore, but, like, are distant enough away from its original creation that they are willing to try some different things,
yeah,
you know, like,
kind of,
like, I would never say, I have a lot of, you know, like, these days, in retrospect, like, I think I enjoyed Fate Zero. I think at the time, I definitely had some issues with, like, its characterization, or just the way it personalized certain characters.
Yeah.
And,
it's not perfect, you know, by any means.
No, but at the same time, I would say that, like, I think Fate Zero is definitely, I mean, I don't know the exact timeline off the top of my head, but would you say that Fate Zero is kind of like, was the modern revitalization of the Fate franchise?
Absolutely.
Like Fate Zero is what got people back into Fate in, like, a post.
I mean,
like,
the crazy people like me were way hyped, but, you know, like, knowing it was UFO Table and, like, big budget, they have a particular style, you know?
Yeah.
And so, it created the hype machine, right? Everyone was like, the Fate people going crazy about Fate Zero, and so everyone else goes, huh, everyone's super hyped about this, I wonder what's going on. And I think, like, even a newcomer to it would find, like, some cool stuff.
Right, I guess that's the other thing, right? Like, Fate Zero, because it is standalone, like,
relatively
you know, similar. Almost, you know, well, yes, but almost the same way of those like standoff, like one-off comics that I mentioned. Like, it is an easier one to get into because
yes,
it is not as beholden to like. Like, obviously, as a Fate fan, like, you're like, oh, shit, it's Kiritsugu. Oh, shit, it's Rin's dad. Oh, shit, that's Kotamine, you know, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. But, like,
yes,
even if you're someone who isn't familiar with those characters in the context of, like, why they're important,
mm-hmm.
like...
It sets them up for why they're important in Zero, and you don't necessarily need to understand why they're important in Stay Night. So,
yes.
With Fate Zero, it still has the same premise of the Holy Grail War. They summon the servants with the different classes. But what would you say makes it different from the original Fate Stay Night?
Well, it doesn't have Ruths for one, because it's just novels, right?
Sure.
And so I think that let's have a bit more focus. And since it doesn't have... Okay, this might be a bit reductive, but it doesn't have any of that high school shit, right? You just got adults,
yeah.
Genin, and you know, it's more action-y, right? Like, people got guns,
everybody's
there's more fighting.
I mean, the very cynical way you could say why Fate Zero is more popular is because, yeah, like, Urobuchi basically looked at Fate and was like, oh yeah, but what if like I killed your wizard with a gun? And I use explosives and
everybody's wearing black suits.
Right. Like I mean literally like I mean look, as somebody who like this is a whole this could be a whole nother hour long podcast about my issues with like the inherent like classist undertones of magic. But like as right. so as somebody who like has those issues, even I am like you know, even I kind of rolled my eyes a bit at like Kiritsugu just being like, "Oh, like stupid wizard!" Like
I'm just gonna activate my C4 like, and bring down the building.
Right. Like I'm a modern dude. You know, I use bombs and guns. You know, it's like it's effective and fun, and it works well within the context of Zero because like the character that is getting blown the fuck out is so unlikable, but like.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with all of that. It's really more so how, like you said, yeah, pretty much everyone in Zero is a terrible person in one way or the other, and it's maybe
Waver's
that's part
cool.
of.
Waver is fine.
Is he?
I will not hear any slander against my precious wizard boy in training.
He might be one of the least terrible people, but I don't know.
He starts as a jerk and he gets better.
What does he do, Bet? He slightly brainwashes an old couple. He's a little snooty. Like, you know, like, he ain't killing anybody. I'm just saying, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, he's just hanging out and, like, playing video games with his servant. Like,
if you were going to get into Fate franchise in 2018, God help you, I would probably start with Zero. Because it's like the first of the modern Fates, I suppose.
And I think not only that, but just as we were talking earlier about how the Dean Unlimited Blade Works movie is supposed to like be a continuation of its Fate Stay Night adaptation.
Yes.
I think then UFO Table's Unlimited Blade Works adaptation also works or is intended to be a follow-up to people who watched Fate Zero.
Yes. Even in my post for alternate titles, I put Fate Zero 2.
Yeah, so for we can... So yeah, let's keep rolling right into that then. So Fate Zero was a pretty big success.
Oh yeah, huge success
yeah. for UFO Table. We named it our number one anime of 2012 on the Glorio blog, and I'll probably...
Some might say it was 2012's best anime.
Yeah, I'll probably catch some flack for that. I voted it for it number one anyway, I am proud to admit. But
it's better than number two.
Yeah, so...
What was number two? I don't mean to go into this.
Love Chunibyo and Other Delusions.
I will also stand by that one, but we're not going to get into that right now.
Oh man, what are we thinking? Fate Zero was like number three on my top five list. What was even What did I even vote for number one that year?
Who knows? Was it
Log Horizon or something?
A million years ago.
So long ago, yeah. So, right, you know, Fate Zero was a big success, and so UFO Table was... they basically went on to do the sequel, and they did the Unlimited Blade Works route of Fate Stay Night.
Man, let me tell you about that night where they were like, tonight we're announcing the new Fate anime by UFO Table, and everyone's like, which route is it? Which route? So like, everyone's watching the stream in Japanese and trying to figure out what's it going to be. And then a scene comes up that to everyone who isn't a crazy person like me doesn't mean anything. But all the real fans know that scene only happens in Unlimited Blade Works route. And realize 30 seconds early that it's Unlimited Blade Works.
Was it like a specific way Shiro was making lunch or something? Or
You see, it's a scene that only happens in Unlimited Blade Works, but that scene was one of the ones added to the Dean anime doing Fate Route. You see, only the true fans knew 30 seconds early.
Hey, you know, like, as easy as it is to poke fun at that, like, I think there's nothing wrong with, like, throwing a bone to, like, the real hardcore fans, you know, like... You know, like, it's the same reason why, you know, we're not going to go into this, but why I like, you know, the original Gundam Build Fighters so much is because it's kind of the same thing, right? Like, it's these really weird, deep-cut jokes that, like, only fans are going to know, and B, only fans could have created.
We're going to get to Carnival Phantasm, all right?
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
So, but, we mentioned the Dean Unlimited Blade Works movie was a bit too compressed and would not make any sense.
Oh boy.
Would not make any sense.
It's going the opposite direction.
Yeah, so would it be safe to say that the UFO Table version, the full 20, is it 26 episodes? Is it more than 20? 26 and a half?
It gets weird when you have a double length episode one. And a double length episode zero.
So we're talking like 28-ish time wise?
They're about.
Okay, so would it be safe to say that goes in the opposite direction where maybe we're getting too much information?
That's the thing where it's adapting all the like exposition and foo-farah from the visual novel that technically in the new Fate era had not been adapted yet. You know, so it's like, here's this long conversation from the visual novel that was explaining stuff that technically without having it, you'd be missing out on some information. So I guess let's just adapt it. That's what the fans want, is a proper adaptation.
Yeah, I guess that's a thing, right? Like, for better or worse, like, you cannot deny that the UFO Table UBW adaptation is very thorough. I mean, it's... Mm-hmm. Like, not to bring back Fate Zero, but in many ways, maybe that is why Fate Zero works a little bit better for some people, is that it was a story that didn't require that level of...
Like,
of intense detail, I
because
guess.
Because of the roots, if you're playing the visual novel and you're doing Unlimited Blade Works, a lot of the stuff you saw already
you
in
Fate... You already know, yes.
And so you can literally just skip the scene because you've seen it before.
Right,
but
anime doesn't really work like that.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's probably just easier to compare with Zero again. Easier to adapt a novel versus the visual novel, because visual novels are always formatted as like people literally talking
at you.
With you know, it's a different narrative structure, and if you just
there's all this inner monologue.
Yeah, if you just like copy and paste that into an anime, it can get a little dry. Very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, also, because it's like visual novels by their intent are almost entirely like conversations directed at the player. Whereas, like, you know, a proper novel can have, you know, a conversation between two characters who aren't, you know, viewpoint characters or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, talking about something entirely different, you know, 50 miles away. And that doesn't break the consistency of the story. Whereas, like, with a visual novel, I take that back, because I've never actually played the VM. Like, are there conversations in Fate between characters that aren't Shiro that like are just happening like
they occasionally way have elsewhere. Like interlude scenes with other characters, but
okay.
So
also, I think Zero put a lot of expectations for the type of like visual and you know like visual quality of Unlimited Blade Works that kind of caused issues in the back half, I would say.
Yeah, I would say UBW is generally not as great looking of an anime a lot of the time.
I heard production was pretty rough during that, but I can't say for sure.
Was that was that running the same time they tried to do God Eater and that fiasco?
Oh, was that at the same time? Man.
I don't remember the timing, but
I think God Eater was right after.
Yeah, that's kind of
for anyone who remember that.
Maybe right before
the UFO table tried to do something not Fate related. Well, they've done a couple things here and there. But one of them was
They get tapped for Tales of stuff all the time.
Right. They're also the Tales of Adaptation Studio.
They tried to do the God Eater game. They tried to do an anime based on that, and I believe they did it entirely in 3D and then drew over pictures over top of the 3D something.
Rotoscoped over
it. Rotoscoped the 3D animation, and it ended up being...
We could probably spend a good, 30 minutes of a podcast talking about, the very ambitious attempts that were made with the God Eater.
Yeah, point is, they had some production issues in that general time frame that, may or may not have impacted Unlimited Blade Works, but... here's my question, and Iroh, maybe if you want to answer this. If somebody says I can only watch either the Dean Fate Stay Night or the UFO Table Unlimited Blade Works as my Fate Stay Night anime, which one are you going to tell them to watch?
Christ. Oh, come on.
And I think it has to be UFO Table Unlimited Blade Works, just because it is a higher quality production, let's say.
And does it work better, I guess, with after watching Fate Zero, assuming you can convince them to watch Fate Zero?
I think it does. There were a lot of arguments among fans over if there had to be one more, which is the one that should properly follow Zero, And so, that's a kind of a burden on Zero, is as a prequel, it has to set up all three different routes that are mutually exclusive with each other.
Yeah.
No matter which of the three routes is happening, something is lost, especially following up Zero. But,
right. I mean, in many ways, actually, Zero is, or not Zero. In many ways, UBW actually is kind of a poor follow up to Zero because, or not poor, but it's the majority of Zero is about, or not the majority, but a big portion of Zero's story is about Saber, right? And her struggle to come to terms with the realities of kingship and what does it mean to be a ruler of people, but that is something she only comes to terms with in the Fate Stay Night route.
Yes,
so it's actually a little weird for her to just show up in UBW with all the baggage she had from Zero, but just be well, we got to help out Rin, I guess, so
in some ways Unlimited Blade Works is a poor choice, and in some ways it is a good choice. But I probably would have picked Unlimited Blade Works personally.
Yeah, there's not really a 100% right answer on that, I guess.
But it's fine now because UFO Table's doing the third route.
Yes. So they are doing the third route, Heaven's Feel, and they're doing it in a series of movies.
Yes.
I don't know if maybe that's because of the actual content in Heaven's Feel or if I haven't seen... So the first movie came out in... you saw it in the theater here, right?
Yes. Tied up G in my passenger seat and drove to Los Angeles to watch that film.
So I have not seen it. So I'm going to have to completely defer to you guys on this one. But
check out our posts on theglorioblog.com.
Yes. The Glorio special report on that. So
as much as I jokingly, act like this was basically torture, Heaven's Feel, at least for me, was just a, you know, it's just a fine, competently made UFO table movie production, you know? Like, it's fate. It's a fate-ass fate, you know?
Yep.
maybe not exactly the kind of thing I would go to a movie for, but... Or a theater for, but...
I'm taking you when number two comes out, you realize. Sure.
Yeah.
How many movies are they doing total?
They're doing three.
Okay.
It's my understanding.
Yeah, do you think that's going to be enough to adequately cover...
Yeah, considering the pace of the first one, I think that's fine. One would be definitely not enough. You know, three is about right. Like,
I could definitely appreciate that about, like, just as a weird side tangent, but I could definitely appreciate that in this day and age when an anime gets a movie adaptation, they're no longer just trying to fit the entirety of the plot into one single movie. Like, we're now in a place where anime productions are realistic enough to be like, okay, it's got to be like a two-parter or a three-parter or what have you. You know, compared
fine,
to
like
say,
most,
you know,
compilation
Machine
movies
days,
just
know?
Use old footage,
or that, right? Or the old version of anime movies, right? Like, you know, I love the theatric versions of the of Gurren Lagann because of the new scenes they add towards the end of both. But
they are mostly stock footage.
I just skip the first like 60-70% of both movies whenever I watch them, so
right.
Yeah, if you think about it, if you do a three movie series, it's basically the equivalent of like a 12 episode anime, right? So
just yeah. With more budget, I guess.
Just right, since it's spread out over, you know, however many years it's going to be to,
sure,
you know.
It's interesting. So an interesting thing about the Heaven's Feel movie is since it's part of the UFO table era, or UFO table era, they can take the like exposition and stuff from Unlimited Blade Works and consider it as like known material. And so the stuff that we joke, oh, they're doing this again at the start of Fate, they actually skip.
Yeah, that's actually something I really did appreciate about the Heaven's Feel movie. I was like, oh god, we gotta do another like 30-45 minutes of Shiro
learning about
his
the Grail
ass, right, high school life and then learning about the Grail again. But nope, instead they were just like, no, we know why you're here. You know, you want those Sakura titties and the good fights. So let's just get
so,
to it.
So basically, Heaven's Feel, again, not a good starting point for your Fate journey. Is that what you're...
No.
Okay. I would not.
Absolutely not.
And, yeah. So Because I was like I mentioned earlier, I'm just trying to figure out why they decided to go the movie route and not another TV route. Is the content too hot for TV?
Not in the film that I saw.
Okay.
But Heaven's Feel route is somewhat infamous because it has more sex than the other two routes combined.
It's lewd.
Yes. Yeah, we can have a nice adult conversation about this. Mature adult conversation about this, I'm sure. But yeah. Okay.
And while the sex scenes in Fate and Unlimited Blade Works roots are easily replaced with CGI animals, perhaps less so in Heaven's Feel root.
So we'll have to see how the later movies handle that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are like certain like very famous like screenshots from the VN.
I should just
Heaven's Feel route.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like how you adapt that sort of thing into a movie that is, you know, probably teen rated, I'd assume. Like,
see, but they're trying to get away from, there's no sex in these. I don't know what you're talking about. So,
right. I guess the thing I would say is that, like, because for better or worse, Heaven's Feel is the one route where, like, the sex is maybe more
relationship based than magic based.
right, like the sex is a, you know, right, the sex is a result of a relationship rather than a like, oh, you got to put the dick in me because I need your magic, you know, like Heaven's Feel is actually like Sakura and Shiro in a relationship, and like in that situation, like, sex doesn't feel as, I mean, it's ham-fisted and out of nowhere because it's designed to titillate, but...
There's still some magic stuff happening there, but yes.
Sure, sure. But also, like, if it makes slightly more sense than I need your magic in me, like, right now. So...
Yeah.
Well, that seems as good a place as any to stop with our Fate Stay Night conversation. And so...
Move on to the other fates.
So basically where that has left off is there's at least two more movies coming out for Heaven's Feel.
And a myriad of spinoffs.
Yeah, and just one final note on Fate Stay Night. I'm calling it now. By 2020, UFO Table will announce they're redoing the Fate group. You heard it here first.
Oh, totally. I would make that bet as well. Like, if not UFO Table, then... Someone will adapt the original.
I could see it Fate being a movie and not a show, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, we'll see. They got to do something. They need to keep their fate. They need to keep the fate cash cow.
When a Tsukihime remake comes out, we'll get a new Tsukihime anime.
Yeah, well, we know that's never happening. So that's another topic, though. So yeah, let's talk about
they would use the new design, which. Nah, don't even get me started. Don't even get me started on the new Tsukihime designs.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Let's keep it rolling here. So, aside from Fate Stay Night, there have been a lot of spin-off stories in every possible medium you can think of. Mm-hmm. And just to have some kind of structure to this, we'll just kind of go chronologically through some of the different animes that have resulted from this. And we'll start with what is... probably the best Type Moon thing ever made in Carnival Phantasm. And Iroh, I'm going to let you... I'm going to let you explain just what in the world Carnival Phantasm actually is.
It's basically just goofy sketch comedy with all of the Type Moon characters, right? Like, instead of murdering each other and banging and bad stuff, psychological horror, they're just... doing dumb comedy sketches and going for deep cut in jokes and just having fun.
How was it originally? Because it wasn't a TV series, right? How did it originally?
So there was a manga version that like had some of the same sketches in it, but with more characters that modern audiences wouldn't know. But
like a four coma or something?
No, just comedy manga, I believe. And
okay.
Yeah, when they announced it was as like an adaptation of the Take Moon Jojen series. But they put in more stuff and, you know, animated it. Got all the voice actors to come in to voice the characters for the 1,000th time.
So sure. it was like an OVA series, right?
Yeah, it came out in batches of 4 episodes around the same time as Fate Zero was going on. This was by Studio Lerche. I think it was their first thing nowadays.
Really? They're doing
proper stuff.
A lot of mainstream.
They're doing something this season that I can't remember.
Are they?
Yeah, I can't remember either, but yeah, they're in there.
They did the Danganronpa anime.
It's probably
go look at our preview guide on theglorioblog.com and you'll find it.
Yeah, one of those says Lersh.
Yeah,
probably.
So it's basically how many episodes did it end up being?
There were 12 episodes and a couple extra like bonus episodes, and the Fate Prototype trailer OVA thing, which is kind of its own weird. Thing.
Yeah, so with the thing with Carnival Phantasm, because I watched some of it, but it's not just Fate.
There's Tsukihime and Melty Blood.
Yeah, so it's like all the Type Moon properties blended in there. So
some Angel Notes,
yeah,
cameos.
There was I would maybe describe myself as a intermediate level knowledge of Fate. I probably did not understand like 70% of what was going on. But even just as a comedy, like it's a really well made, just like dumb comedy, and I'm always into that.
Yeah, it's good. It's a great,
especially the Holy Grail Grand Prix episode.
I love like dumb race episodes.
Which so yeah, if you're familiar with Fate Stay Night, if you've watched any of it or whatever, and you only watch one episode of Carnival Phantasm, at least watch that one because it's hilarious. It's yeah, so that's a lot of fun, and it's always nice to kind of get that contrast because, like you're saying, normally Fate is about murdering people, and
it's so damn self-serious,
serious.
It takes itself so seriously.
So it's nice to have kind of that different spin on it that makes it more entertaining.
Yeah, and I think to bring back the Guns of Build Fighters comparison back real quick is just that Carnival Phantasm is clearly made from a place of passion. Like the people who made it clearly cared a lot about Fate, you know, because I think there is an easy way to do parody, and then there is the harder but much more like fulfilling way to do parody. Like if you asked me to like write Fate jokes, I would probably just go with like the very like crass surface level stuff, like the CG sex dragons and stuff, you know, like because I enjoy Fate, but I'm not familiar with it on that level. Whereas like the kind of jokes that Carnival Phantasm make are the kind of jokes that only somebody who really loves the franchise and is really familiar with it could make. And personally, I think that shows in Carnival Phantasm in a way that I think doesn't necessarily show up in some other adaptations or not adaptations, but other spinoffs, so to speak.
Yeah.
Like it's made from a place of love.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. So, like I said, if you only watch one episode of that, watch the Grand Prix episode. It's good stuff. All right, so again, chronologically moving along, probably the next thing on our list would be the magical girl Prisma Ilia. I don't know what the actual title is.
Fate Kalade Liner Prisma Ilia, followed by various subtitles in like German, depending on what season you're watching. We don't talk about Prisma Ilia.
No, we don't talk about Prisma Ilia, so...
Is Prisma Ilia just like, is it the thing that all long-standing franchises fall victim to, where like somebody drew Ilia as a magic girl as like a one-off joke,
spun wildly in, like, out of
the end of a manga or something?
It's slightly more complicated than that. But
and then after that, like execs were like, oh man, hey, that's great. Let's just turn that into a whole anime.
Okay, so...
like...
in Fate Hollow Ataraxia, the sequel/spinoff of Fate's Day Night visual novel, there is a scene where Rin finds a magic rod that transforms her into a magical girl, and this is a joke scene. And then someone was like, what if we took that stick and gave it to Ilia? Let's make a spinoff about that.
Okay. So... I mean, I kind of love that.
Draw,
I kinda...
like elementary school girls in compromising positions.
I don't love that, but I love the, again, as a fan of Gundam, a franchise that's been around for like three decades, like in many ways, it's a franchise like that or Fate that has lasted so long almost gains like an ability to become self-sustaining, in that it can just grab any bit of lore, any bit of like one-off bullshit.
Yeah,
like a single drawing of a character, like in the background of an OVA, and like spin that out into its entirely own thing, just because the franchise has so much breadth to it at this point.
I don't
that it can just get away. With
I don't
that
think
dumb
the problem
bullshit.
With Prisma Ilia is the idea of making Ilia a girl. It's the
it's
100% the execution, because you know Ilia's, of course.
Yeah, I'm not here to defend Prisma Ilia.
Sure, I remember how old Ilia is actually supposed to be, but she's like,
well, you see, everyone in the visual novel is over 18.
Right, of course.
Even the ones who were 6, 10 years ago are over 18.
But point is, she looks like she's like 8 years old or something. And it's there's way too much sexualization going on with it. It's pretty gross.
I mean, Iroh, you could probably elaborate more on this, but wasn't Ilia supposed to be one of the original girls you could woo in the original V?
Yes, and then at some point they canceled that idea.
I wonder why.
And folded a lot of that content into Heaven's Feel route.
Oh boy, guys, guys, we just talked about Prismalia. We broke the rules.
Shit, damn it!
I had questions to ask, and I knew only one person who could answer them for me. So,
just in case we were doubting how far Ira's knowledge stretches, All right, let's keep it rolling here. Getting into fairly recent times now, we mentioned in the beginning the explosion of popularity with the Fate Grand Order mobile game, which...
Yep. In English now, after I played it in Japanese for a while.
Yeah. And just quick thoughts on Fate Grand Order, the game itself. It's basically like any other mobile game. You roll your gacha to get as many, attractive anime characters.
Attractive lady servants.
Yeah, that as you can. Well, there's guys in there too, but primarily the
there
ladies.
Are, but yeah. Come on.
We know what the we know what the audience is. I think a lot of
your hot anime titties.
I think a lot of
there are plenty of hot boys in Fate.
A lot of girls play Fate Grand Order too. So I mean, fair.
Sure. I don't mean to paint with a brush.
Yeah. Whether it's guys or girls, it's it's all anime horniness. So.
Yes.
Yep.
And
runs in the blood of this franchise.
That has been tremendously popular. It has all the original Fate Stay Night servants in there that you can get, and all the other
and hundreds more,
and a whole lot more from some of the other spinoffs that we're going to talk about, and then even more after that. So that's been a huge hit, and it's kind of taken the Fate popularity to a whole nother level. And I'm actually surprised they have not done more anime on it yet. Maybe it's just because we need a little more time. But they did...
It'll happen.
Yeah.
Mark my fucking words, it's happening.
They did do a one-off... It was just one episode, right, Iroh?
Yeah.
They did do a one-off OVA called Fate Grand Order. First Order is what it was called.
Yes. So it covers basically the tutorial / prologue of the Grand Order mobile game, where it drops your character into... a like alternate version of the town from Fate Stay Night, and so a lot of those characters show up in different forms as to like ease you in to what's going on. And I mean, it sure exists, it's fine, I guess.
Does Grand Order even have a plot? Like, I don't even know what.
Oh, does it?
Oh, god, what have I done?
It's kind of just a thinly veiled excuse for you to hop around time and meet all these servants so you can get to know them, which makes you more likely to spend money on the Saint Courts to buy them from the gacha.
Yeah. So, this is the one where we invented the new class Shielder with only one character.
Yeah.
Who has the worst...
Shielder was originally planned... Shield... Fun fact here. Shielder... the story for the Dean anime was originally going to be a separate route / thing, and Shielder was planned for that.
Oh wow!
Was it the same?
And that some
was it the same?
Yeah,
Shielder?
Pretty okay. much.
That far back.
And but at some point they decided to just do an adaptation, and so stuck that one in the drawer for a while.
Yeah, Shielder, aka Mash Kyrie Light, aka the worst.
Oh god,
the worst name.
Don't get me started on.
I think this is worth touching on, Iroh. I know where you're going.
So first, there's this character shows up. Nobody knows what she's supposed to be called, but we kind of settle on Mash / Mashu, right? And then some stuff comes out, like I think it was the Valentine's Day event, where you can get the card that's her chocolate to you, and it says on it, from Matthew, the boy's name, Matthew. And everyone went... hang on a minute. And all the sites were like, I guess that's your name now. It's Matthew. And so for a while, it was a Matthew Curie Light. And then Fate Grand Order, First Order OVA came out, and we fucking settled on Mash, I think. Just Mash. Mashu.
I thought you were going to go to how they changed Sabers, the original Sabers.
Okay, so... it's King Arthur, right? But it's a lady. And so the dub for the first anime went with Arturia. But then
Sure.
Art books said Altria because of Japanese romanization stuff. And then we settled on Artoria for a while.
Oh, boy.
And I think it's back to Altria.
Yeah, I think these days. I think the last one in Grand Order is Altria, yeah. But yeah, it's only because, like you said, you know, the R's and the L's get mixed up all the time.
Right.
And
you have to do some extrapolation when you're translating the sounds to English.
So, yeah. All right, so.
Still Artoria to be.
Yep. Artoria, yep. Motherfuckers.
That makes sense. That's the only one that actually makes sense. Yeah, so the OVA was, I mean, that's...
It's fine.
It's probably setting us up for, I'm sure, a full-length series. This thing is too popular.
I feel like First Order implies we're going to make one that's Second Order and then Third Order. But
Do you think a fake Grand Order anime adaptation should either... be like the rest of Fate and take itself as self-seriously as possible?
God.
Or would Fate Grand Order as an anime actually be better off just going the Carnival Phantasm route of,
I mean,
like, let's just poke fun at the dumbass gacha like mechanics that rule this
game. I would not watch the other one.
No, like, have it like in this like hypothetical Fate, you know, Grand Order anime, have a bit about like
We need an archer class servant to defeat the saber. Let me run to the slot machine and pull it for 2 hours.
Right, or even something like, "Hey, like I finally maxed out my level and bond level with this servant, like as a representation of our bond together. Now let me store you in the vault and never use you again because I've maxed you out, you know, or whatever."
Yeah, there's
right?
a lot of jokes, potential jokes to tap in there. Yeah, I would be totally down for that.
God, I wish.
But that's probably not going to happen.
It's just
don't worry, the Dojin scenes got you covered.
Right, I mean, that's the thing, right? Is Fate, like, as a franchise at this point, like, self-aware enough to even go for those jokes?
Who knows anymore? Carnival Phantasm was, like, 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah. God, that was a long time ago when you really
Time's
think
flying,
about
for
it.
Sure. All right, so we're pretty much caught up to modern day at this point, because the next item on our list is Fate Apocrypha, which the anime just ended. Was it last season that it ended, or the season before? I don't.
Yeah. Yes, I want to say last season. I think first half's on Netflix. I don't know about the second half.
And
the first half.
Yeah, thanks Netflix.
And Iroh, maybe you can give us a general idea of what Fate Apocrypha actually is, because I'm not sure I understand that either.
Start from the beginning or just go for the basics?
Well, yeah, just what is the...
Let's just start from the beginning.
Yeah, what's the source material?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
So around when Zero was happening, they released an art book / material book with a bunch of, here were the canceled plans for Fate Apocrypha. We were trying to push an MMO and it just didn't pan out. And so, but here's like all these servant designs that we made, and fans went wild because at the time, in a pre-Grand Order world, any more lore bits were like devoured, you know, by the fans.
Sure.
And so here's all these other servants. Here's some like plot points that we were planning on that didn't work out. But then they were like, oh, everyone's really excited about these. Well, let's just take these and turn it into a light novel. And so they took those and turned them into a light novel where instead of seven masters and seven servants fighting each other for the Holy Grail, it's two teams of seven masters and seven servants. Team is multiplayer, fighting over the Holy Grail.
So we went from free for all deathmatch.
It's double the number of characters, guys.
We went from free for all deathmatch to team deathmatch, right?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And so that came out and was, I suppose, popular enough because it is Fate, and got an anime by A1 Pictures because it was inevitable.
So do you think, because a lot of these characters pretty much all of them made it into Fate Grand Order, the game, so you think that had anything to do with the anime happening?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to go on a limb and say most people
discovered those characters through Fate Grand Order, not reading the
reading
the original novel.
I haven't read the light novels. Like, I mean, A, they're not translated. B, like, I don't care anymore.
Honestly, are they? They're probably not that great.
Right.
Anyway,
so they take place in an alternate universe that splits before Fate Zero happens. And etc.
Is it? It's still like Earth, though. Like I haven't watched. I did not watch the series. So we have to specify that. We're gonna get into something else that raises that question. Okay. So we need to be specific.
Oh God.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess we can infer from Ira's description that the anime is not very good.
I don't think it's particularly good. I think it's visually pretty good. It's well made. A1 Pictures is pretty good work. Pretty solid work. But I mean, the story, even among Fate stuff, where I've been saying it's incomprehensible if you don't already know like the background. I think Apocrypha is especially bad. They make references to stuff in mainline Fate with surprising regularity, and it's not that there's no explanation offered, you know. So it's like,
I mean,
oh,
for better or worse,
like Rail, you know what that does.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Like, my understanding is that for better or worse, Apocrypha is like Fate at its most, like I don't know what's the word, like, I don't, not self-masturbatory, but like, but most like up its own ass with like what Fate can be, I guess, as
yes.
a franchise.
It feels like a fan fiction where someone like me was really into Fate and saw those one-off lines about the universe that were never meant to be part of the story and said, well, I'm going to write a story that uses all of those concepts and extrapolates them into their own thing.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of what I meant. Yeah, is like, it is, I mean, again, like Gundam, it is Fate at its most like minute, at its most like trawling through every line for like the tiniest bits of like lore and extrapolating them into these like huge overblown things.
Right.
You know,
they're expected to be serious.
Let's take the one off line about getting the plans for the Death Star and make an entire movie out of it. something like
hey,
that.
hey, Rogue One is fine. In fact, let's not get into it, but I would say Rogue One is the best.
I do not want to open that can on this podcast. But this is an example of taking a one-off line and spinning it into an entirely different.
Yes. So Fate Apocrypha ended recently as of this recording. Sakugo Blog loves it.
It's very good looking anime.
It is
extremely
good looking anime.
I mean, it's the same thing with like the Heaven's Feel movie, right? Like it operates on a level of like spectacle and polish that very few OVAs and almost no TV anime can compete with.
Yes. By virtue of being a large franchise, is able to do these things.
Right, like that's a thing. Fate can do in movies what even other anime, like even by the standard of other anime movies.
Yes.
Fate can operate on an entirely other level just because of how gigantic it is, you know, how much it's guaranteed to sell no matter what.
Yeah.
Like how much money and time they can throw into a movie, you know, that even other anime movies can't necessarily do.
Right.
And Apocrypha is kind of like that as well. Like it's, of course, well, I was gonna say, of course, it's gonna look good, but then we were just talking earlier about like UBW, like the UFO table adaptation.
I mean,
UBW
it looked good, production. But it was just kind of, yeah.
But like, I guess the idea of Apocrypha looking good is like the least surprising thing in the world.
Yeah.
So I mean, it could be a spectacle at least, at the very least. But yeah.
Yeah. But it's over now, and we can move on to the other Fate shows that are starting up in its absence.
Yeah, so there's actually two.
Oh boy. It never ends.
There's actually two series running at the moment. two very, very different series. And I think what we'll do is I want to talk about. I know we have them in the order we have them there, but I want to talk about Fate Extra first, because technically the game. We'll save the best for last, basically, what I'm saying. Okay. Technically, the Fate Extra anime just started airing, last week? And that is going to be a weekly series, as far as we know?
Okay. Yes.
So I wanted to talk about that first, because actually the Fate Extra game, which, amazingly, I did actually play, came out years ago, and that kind of established that lore and everything. And, you know, we saw a lot of the Fate Extra characters pop up in Fate Grand Order and whatnot. So that's actually been around for a while. It's just that the anime itself just started about a week ago. And I don't know, Iroh, you want to take some attempt at explaining what Fate Extra is?
It's the Holy Grail War, but it's an elimination tournament because it's a video game. And also they're on the moon.
Sure.
They're in a computer on the moon, which has no relation to the eponymous type moon, which is an entirely concept. But, they're in a video game on the moon. There's a elimination tournament. Sure.
Whatever you say. Yep.
So, basically what that means is there's a lot more than just seven servants or whatever, right? It's however many people there are.
But conveniently, there's just enough in this tournament that you fight seven.
Conveniently, yes. And everything looks like kind of weird, futuristic, video gamey type of look to it.
We're in the Matrix.
Yeah, because you're basically in the Matrix. It also introduced us to the better of the two Red Sabers, but maybe that's a different...
Oh boy! Oh no! Okay, no. You see, one is Red Saber, one is Saber of Red. Get it right.
Oh, just like Black Saber and Saber of Black.
Christ!
But there's only White Saber. There's no Saber of White.
No, there is Saber. Okay. Would Saber Lily be White Saber?
I mean, there's how many Sabers are there now? There's regular Saber, Saber Lily, there's Saber Altar. There's Red Saber. There's
and by Saber because there's actually even more Sabers. We're talking about the ones that look exactly like the original Saber.
We're just talking about Arturia/Altria. Yeah.
Well, I guess technically Saber and Fate Extra is not one of those, but she looks exactly like them. So.
Oh my god! Yeah. Look, that's Fate. We're just only scratching the surface here.
Yes.
So in grand order, there is an invisible attribute on a number of servants in that game called Saber Face, which means they're a saber lookalike.
Huh. And
wait, what do you mean like a hidden attribute, like a
It's like a flag in their stats. Yeah. And so like some moves
they have saber.
Some characters and some moves do like more damage to Saber Face.
Oh my! What? Huh.
Anyway,
does
Fate Extra?
I just need to ask now. Does Mysterious Heroine X count as Saber Face?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not even a question.
Yeah. Well, because she's clearly not Saber. Sorry, everyone. So, I had to throw in a random.
So back to the moon and butt windows.
Yeah. Right. So the anime. The anime came out, the first episode, and even having played the game, I had no idea what was going on. I don't think anybody did.
So, this anime is being done by Studio Shaft and Akiyuki Shinbo, famous for various anime, such as Madoka Magica and Bakemonogatari.
Oh, you're talking about Shaft the studio. Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about Shinbo specifically. I was like, that doesn't line up.
Yeah, so, and it definitely, you can definitely see, because they have a very distinct, very...
Artsy-fartsy.
Yeah, artsy style. And honestly, I'm cool with that.
Sure.
I guess it was just it just didn't make any sense. They're just like people randomly getting murdered.
That's Fate.
Sounds like Fate.
The they made a very poor choice of going with the male main character instead of the female main character.
Like, that's the thing. Of course they were going to do that. Like, did you,
which actually in the opening shot, it was interesting. I guess it's not a spoiler because it's the opening shot. If you watch it, you'll see in 2 seconds. It shows the female main character fighting the final boss. Like, that's the very first, which, you know, I'm just gonna, I mean, forget spoilers. The final boss is Buddha, which is kind of interesting. But you'll see him you'll see him in the very first shot of the anime.
Right.
So they actually thought about that. That just tells me that they thought about using the female main character and decided not to, and that's disappointing.
Oh, I don't think they thought about it. Like, let's be honest. Like,
right.
Yes, more. There are more.
Okay, they were aware. They were aware it was an option. And they were aware it was an option.
Sure. But what I mean is, like, yes, there are more female fans in Fate and in anime in general, like diversifying the fandom of anime than ever. But Fate has an old. I mean, the very origins of Fate are rooted in, like,
banging pretty girls.
Yeah, you know, the male fantasy of, like. Yeah, I guess magical just banging girlfriend. Hot chicks. Yeah, basically. Oh, yes, the magical girlfriend subgenre. Like, no matter how much things change, you know, some things stay the same, you know, and I think, you know, that part of Fate specifically is not going to change anytime soon. Like, hey, I'll happily eat my words if there is a Fate spinoff a few years from now that stars a female protagonist, but I think, at least for the foreseeable future, just like how, you know, Gundam or certain Gundam fans have been clamoring for a female Gundam protagonist for years, like, it's just...
It's not happening.
It's the double-edged sword of a franchise being that long, being that enduring, is that, unfortunately, there are just certain things that are so ingrained into the franchise that changing them would require, like, drastic changes in leadership or creative... control.
Apparently, Nasu, the original writer for Fate's Day Night, etc., rewrote the story for extra for the anime, and so there will be differences from the game.
So more like tiny minutiae for fans to pore over. Yay! And extrapolate into their own spin-offs.
I mean, the game itself already had, like, different routes you could take, so, I mean, mm-hmm. I guess anything is really possible in that regard. To be honest, I mean, I thought the first episode was completely incomprehensible, but I like the I will probably watch more of it, if we're going to be honest. Just
I'll watch more because I'm already in this deep. What's another
deep
chain on my shoulders?
I had enough time last night to either watch Fate Extra or Today's Menu for the Emiya family. And I think history will validate me.
You're on the right side of history.
You made
on that
the
one.
Correct
yeah.
choice, my friend.
So let's talk about that then. Our final transition to you. Thank you. Our final
hell
we
yeah.
We saved the best for last. Our final show here. The other currently airing Fate thing. Now this is actually kind of weird because it's like one a month.
It's a monthly short. Yeah.
So they're gonna do an episode every month for how long are they doing it?
Who knows?
For as long as they want to do it, I guess.
Forever.
I'm gonna
just do it forever. I don't care. Like, I don't care what the fuck. I don't care what the fuck else Fate is doing for the rest of its existence. Because.
Okay.
Just like Gundam, as far as I'm concerned, Fate is already over the hill. It has already done the best it could possibly do. So it might as well just do the dumb fan service bullshit that people like us will actually appreciate and enjoy. Yeah.
So let's Ira, why don't you give us the rundown of what this series actually is? So
all right.
The title, this is the official title, right? The Today's Menu for the Emiya family. That's what they've settled on. Okay. So
Today's Menu at Emiya family or something like that. Yeah. This was a spinoff manga that they're adapting now. By UFO Table is adapting it probably to cool off from Heaven's Feel or just as a side thing. But since main character of Fate's Day Night, Emiya Shiro, is like a highly domestic person, and there's a lot of asides about cooking and cleaning in the original visual novel, I guess they just decided to make a whole spinoff that's just a cooking show where Shiro goes shopping for food, comes home, and cooks dinner. Starring all of your favorite characters from Fate Stay Night.
And it's great.
It's great. I great. Unironically enjoy this type of pointless, fluffy bullshit.
I mean, again, like, as much as, like, we are, like, you know, maybe facetiously singing its praises, but, like, it's the kind of, it's the Carnival Phantasm thing, I think, of, like, Fate takes itself so goddamn seriously. Like a lot of longstanding franchises are like this, that they, like, because they've been around for so long, they have reached a certain level of prestige, quote-unquote. Like, I know referring to Fate as a prestige franchise sounds insane, but it kind of is. You know, it is an elder statesman of the genre, of the medium, for better or worse, you know, in this day and age. So, like, these kind of shows that are just, like, that kind of remember, hey, this is all kind of dumb. Like, let's just have some fun. Like, it doesn't need to be that 24/7, but I can really appreciate
right
when they have moments like these.
Yeah, just, oh, you, in particular, because mainline Fate has definitely been overshadowed lately by spinoffs. Seeing, like, the old characters just chilling and eating food together warms my heart in some sick way.
Well, because it's kind of, it's a return, it's kind of a simpler return to form, right? It's just,
yeah.
Seven masters, seven servants, hanging out, you know, like, eating food, like, no, like, weird
spin-off characters. Buying ridiculously cheap salmon.
Right. Oh, my God, that salmon is so cheap.
Jesus Christ. All right, episode 2 of today's Baby Friendly Family. Shiro's going shopping. He's like, oh, what am I cook for dinner? This red snapper is too expensive at 400 yen.
Also, that part, super fucking cheap
red snapper.
Yes, also, that red snapper is 400 yen a fillet. That is unbelievably cheap.
Right, and so he's like, oh, this is too expensive for my blood. Hey, Lancer, who is manning the fish stand, what's cheap today? And Lancer says, check out this salmon. 98 yen a fillet.
That's less than a dollar. That's less than a US dollar.
Just motherfucker, buy 1,000 of them and
yeah, why are you buying four? What a three? What a, like? Do they not have freezers? Like, do they not like? Like, if yo,
98 yen.
If you were selling me 98 yen salmon, I would buy every fillet in that store right then and there.
Yeah,
I would put it all in my car, and, like, I don't even care if I don't have enough freezer space. I will just give it to other people and put it in their freezers.
Oh,
like,
man.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, here's the twist, right? Is that next episode we find out that that salmon was so cheap because it was, like, a week old and, like, riddled with parasites.
Sure.
And actually,
sure,
they all got sick the day after.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think, like I said in the beginning, we have a bit of the love-hate relationship, and there is a certain amount of love, especially, I think, for the initial cast. You know, we have this show seems to tap into
mainline.
Yeah, this show seems to tap a bit into, even I'd say, nostalgia. I mean, that all happened just many years ago at this point, and, you know, you're kind of looking back at that original cast, and yeah, it's a really pleasant show. I think it fits in well with all the other cute shows going on. I know Ira asked me to throw in the cute anime battle royale that we have going on right now, and I don't think we would need weekly episodes. Otherwise, I would gladly put it in there.
Right. I don't think you could hang.
I wish it was weekly.
Yeah. So yeah. I guess we'll see how many episodes it ends up being. I'm sure we'll at least get one more for Sakura and Ryder, because we've seen them hanging around. And
that seems inevitable.
Hopefully,
I expect at least probably 6 or 7 episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, you expect them to at least hit, like, the standard checkboxes for Fate characters to show up. Like, there will probably be a Shinji episode just because he has to show up eventually, right? You know, like, there will be a...
Is there going
to
be a Berserker episode?
Right. Will there be an episode where Berserker shows up? Like, will there be the episode where, like, math teacher and caster show up or something, right? Like, there are, like, those, like, basic, almost mandatory checkboxes they have to hit. But Yeah, just a pleasant show. You know, just it's not gonna burn the house down, but like.
Yeah, Shiro's too good of a cook to burn down the house.
They can bring a bento to assassin at the temple.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's plenty of.
So it does look. It reuses the joke from Carnival Phantasm, where in the ED, because assassin can't leave the gate, he's just a cardboard cutout that they're carrying around.
Oh right.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, see, that's anyway. That's the kind of like attention to detail and just like coming from a place of love kind of thing that G was talking about. I think just the and yeah. No, and kind of having that self awareness and not taking yourself too seriously. That's the good stuff. We like that.
Yep. Bring back Carnival Phantasm. Make season 4. Come on.
Yeah, I like G's idea. Do that as the Grand Order anime because you're already sure. Throwing out. You need an excuse to throw together, you know, dozens of characters.
And you have this huge Grand Order cast that you can just play for jokes. So
yeah, throw.
I mean, that's kind of why I brought it up. I mean, now that we've brought it up, it'll never happen because that's how the universe works. But like,
no, we'll get the proper adaptation where we're supposed to take the whole. The whole
it.
Gene and gene alter thing seriously. Yeah.
You know, it's like that. That's the thing, right? Like, as much as we like are throwing shade at Fate, like any franchise, right? Like any franchise that has been around as long, like it's only been around that long because it's done some things right. You know, like no franchise or. Most franchises that last that long for good reason, you know, like they've done the right thing at least enough times to endear themselves to people, and if nothing else, show people what these franchises can be in the right hands, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like Fate, you know, Fate can be a fantastic franchise. Like it can do some awesome things that like a lot of anime can't do, and because it's so popular, because it's such a guaranteed moneymaker, like it can even get away with like riskier things that mm-hmm. other TV series could not entertain. So
it's kind of, maybe that's good, why, not
right?
For
so
evil.
That is, you know, right. That is why maybe we're more disappointed when it just goes for the easiest, like lowest common denominator stuff.
Yeah, the premise really has an unlimited ceiling to it. The whole Grail War thing and. You know, you could put that in any time period or setting or whatever. There's so much untapped potential there. So yeah, when it just goes into regular anime nonsense and things that we've kind of seen before in other capacities, then it's a little bit frustrating. You know, we know the potential's there to be something really, really good. So I think that's pretty much going to do it. I don't know if you guys have any final thoughts you want to add?
Really only scratched the surface of what Type Moon encompasses, but a few years ago I did write a like Type Moon primer post on Japanator.
Shout out to Jay.
Which I'm not sure, yeah, shout out to JTOR, which I'm not sure quite still exists, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, consider like going back and trying to like find it and just like...
I think the posts are there,
and uploaded it to the blog again, but...
Yeah.
We'll throw a link into the liner notes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of why I wanted, again, to focus on the anime. We've already run way longer than I was anticipating, but... Because there's just so much there to go into, and
there's so much.
It's a big franchise.
Fate's only part of the whole Type Moon experience and everything. So we will definitely link that primer if it still exists that Ira wrote a couple years ago, because that was really good to give you the whole overview of what Type Moon is and whatnot. And we'll get that up there on the post. Any other final thoughts before we wrap things up here, guys?
You know what, just because we never mentioned it once and I'd feel bad, just real quick shout out to my boy Iskandar, King of Kings, leader of men, greatest servant to ever appear in the franchise.
I mean, writer servants are usually pretty cool.
Fate Zero had some pretty great characters. And I just felt the need to at least say his name out loud in this podcast.
Yes, so G is, of course, referring to the writer of Fate Zero, Grail War, Iskandar, Alexander the Great. And, yeah, writers always kind of get a... Well, I guess everybody that's not Saber gets a raw deal in Fate, so... yeah. Well, really,
I mean, we could have a whole other conversation about how, like, realistically, like, half the servants in the Grail War exist
to drop to Saber,
right?
I should say, if you're not Saber or Archer, you're kind of irrelevant usually. So,
Well, if you're Caster, you get to be the mid boss.
Oh, so. true. Right. Caster, I mean, well, always thing, gets like, to be mid boss. Yep. So, shout out to Ryder, the writers everywhere out there. I also kind of like Sir Francis Drake for being a pirate, pirate lady.
Also Ryder.
Yes, that's what I'm.
Also right, a
yeah.
lady.
See, we fucking said, oh yeah, Sir Francis Drake, the pirate lady. You know, like.
That's what I thought I need to mention. Also,
also a pirate lady. I like pirate ladies. So, yeah, shout out to writers. Fate is good and bad. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. Mm. But, yeah, there's something in there for everyone, I think, if you dig around enough. And, you know, hopefully we've given a good enough overview, you can figure out what you want to watch if you haven't seen it already. And, yeah, I think that just about does it. So,
all right, I'm going to use my command spell on this podcast.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks to you guys for sticking it out here. Like I said, we went probably a little bit longer, but I think we got a good amount of coverage on everything. Thank you everybody out there for listening. Again, you know, if you have any feedback, whatever you want to give us, please feel free. You know, if you happen to find us on iTunes or something, you know, you can also comment there. I'm trying to get that. There's iTunes just actually put out a new like podcast center thing or something I'm trying to hook up with. So anyway, I think that just about does it. Thanks again, guys. And we will catch everybody later.
Bye.
See you later.